It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Amen. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Father, we come now, Lord, to say thank you. Thanking you first, Father, for blessing us to see this day that thou hast made. Father, and thanking you for blessing us to assemble here in thine holy name. Lord, as we've come to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise, for truly thou art worthy. Truly we are blessed, dear God. And Father, we just say thank you, dear God. Father, we thank you for looking past our faults and seeing our needs, dear God. And Heavenly Father, as I am on the decrease, I ask that you be on the increase, dear God. And that as we come into the period of the study of thine holy word, that you would use me and speak through me, dear God. And Father, that all that are here, the hearts and minds and ears, would be open and receptive to thine holy word. Father, that the yokes, dear God, will be broken, strongholds torn down, dear God, the shackles broken, dear God, the captives made free. Father, in Jesus' name, we just say thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen, 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 amen. Truly it's a blessing to be given the opportunity to stand before you and to proclaim God's holy word and the study of his word. For I know it is an honor and a privilege, and it does not have to be me. Amen. And I thank God for this opportunity, giving honor to God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, to our beloved pastor and the officers and members and you, amen, the congregation here of Greater King David family. We're going to speak tonight, and we're going to look at the value of faith. The value of faith. To the believer, to the saint, to the Christian, faith is the most valuable thing that you have. Now you can have money, you can have success, you can be on the high on the totem pole of society, but you got to have faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And if you can't please God, all that you have is naught. Is naught. Faith is your most valuable commodity that you have in this life. Amen. You must believe. And you know, and we take it for granted because God has measured out or meted out a portion of faith to each and every individual. Now, and it's up to you to use the faith that you have. It's like going into the gym and working out, and you're looking for results in so many days, and you're looking to see how you're working out, how you're exercising, and you're looking for a change in your body, amen? You're looking for a change in your physique. Now, you have the faith to know that if I pump these irons and I run these laps and everything, I begin to tone up, my body begins to change. That's faith. That's faith. Well, the same thing applies in the spiritual sense, because just as in the physical sense, it also applies in the physical sense, because now in the spiritual sense, I have to believe, and my faith continues to grow through mine exercising my faith. Because for each level, each trial, each tribulation that we go through, and we believe God to bring us through, our faith grows. Amen? And all of us in here tonight, all of us in here tonight who say we are Christians and believers in Christ Jesus, God has brought us through trials and tribulations and to the point to where we are right now. Amen?
Amen.
Turn with me to Numbers, the 13th chapter and the 30th verse. Numbers, the 13th chapter and the 30th verse. And we're going to look at a very familiar text to us. And it reads like this. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Now we're looking here. Moses sent 12 spies into the promised land, which was the land of Canaan. Now, this land was promised to them. God himself promised it to them. I'm going to read something for you. You don't have to turn there. The third chapter of Exodus, verses 7 and 8, it states this. And the Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites." Now listen to this, I want you to keep that right there in your mind. Keep it in your memory. It is here that God makes the promise to bless his people. Now, he has heard their prayers. And that's what he's telling Moses right now. I've heard their prayers. And right now, you are praying and believing God and asking God to deliver you from whatever it is that you're going through right now. Can I tell you, God is still in the prayer answering business? That God is still healing. And when I say healing, yes, physically and in every other arena in your life that is out of context with his holy word, that God is still in the healing business. And I'm going to show you right now tonight the fact that you need to do something. You need to get up and get your blessing, because your blessing is right there for you and ready for you right now. But we pray and we pray and we want God to do everything. God is not going to do for you what you can do for yourself. Now you can pray all you want, but you got to get up off of your knees and exercise your faith and do what you are supposed to do. And when you have done all that you can do, God steps in and he does the rest. Because, see, you can do the possible. God specializes in the impossible.
Yes.
Here we look at the fact that Moses sent 12 spies into the land of Canaan. And let me tell you, the value of faith. When you look at faith, faith is so valuable to you that when you ask God and believe God to give you what he has for you, there are things that you know that you're going to have to do. But now the enemy is going to come against you to try to rob and to steal your blessings from you. Now he's not going to sit idly by and let this happen without a fight. But it's up to you to stand steadfast, unmovable, believing and standing on the word of God, and knowing that you have the authority to claim your blessings, because it is yours. It is yours, and the only reason you don't get it is because you don't get up and go get it. That's the only reason. It is here Moses sent the 12 spies into the land of Canaan. Now, God promised this land to the Israelites, God's chosen people. And he told them to go in and spy out and see what they have. Now, 12 spies came back, but 10 had bad reports and 2 had good reports. Can I tell you, sometimes you're going to be in the minority? You're going to be in the minority because you believe otherwise than as the others believe? 10 came back with bad reports. Now, let me say this. And look, God promised this to the children of Israel. But the devil will get in and cause you to see and make you afraid of what you see, and you will lose your blessing. You will not receive your blessing because you allow Satan to get into you, and he deals with your mind. And as he deals with your mind, he brings about every negative thing that he can. And if you believe what he's telling you, you will not receive your blessing. But here are 2 people out of 10 who have a report of faith. Now, if God has promised you your blessing, and he's told you, I've got this blessing for you, and you tell him, God's got my blessing, and you are surrounded by non-believers, and all you can hear is negative talk, can I tell you, you need to remove yourself? Because see, all that negativism is going to breed into you. It's just like a cancer. It's going to get into you, and pretty soon you're going to start doubting. And see, that's how Satan works. He will get you to doubting, and once he starts getting you to doubting, then you start getting further and further away from your blessing. Here the 10 spies are now, in spite of what the 10 spies were saying, now they got the people all in an uproar. Because now read the verse. It says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses. Do you know all that negative conversation and all that talk about what they saw? Look here. Look, wait. Verse 26. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Remember that now. Remember that. Showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it flowed with milk and honey, and this is the fruit thereof. Remember that. Nevertheless, here's the but. See, them buts in your faith can get you all messed up. Them buts can cause you to lose your faith right there and miss your blessing. It says, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of the Anak there. Now they're looking at the giants. They're looking at the walls. But God said, it's yours. You looking at the walls. You looking at something that looks so big. You looking at everything that's out of proportion. You say, man, how is this going to be? How is it going to be? God said it's yours. He said it's yours in spite of what you see, what you've been praying for, what you've been believing God for. God said it's yours. Quit looking at all the things that's standing in front of you. Quit looking at the walls high and tall. Quit looking at the giants, giants of a problem, and the many people. And the many people are symbolic of the many problems and troubles. Quit looking at that and look at God. Look at God. And he said, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Now here they look, they saw it all.
Say, surely we saw a land that flowed with milk and honey. And they brought some back. They picked a cluster of grapes that it took two people to carry. Now you not only see your blessing, you touch your blessing, then you lose your blessing. What's the problem? Because you let Satan beat you out of your blessing. You let Satan beat you out of your blessing. You see everything that God has promised to you. It's right there before you. And for whatever reason, whether it be friends, family, or whatever, talking about, girl, you can't have this. This is not this. Man, God ain't gonna do this for you. God, and your hand is right there on it, and you still let Satan take it out.
Amen.
You still let Satan take it right out of your hand. Now Caleb spoke a good report and he stilled the people, because all that negativism, it causes you to get in an uproar. We see, but God's word speaks peace to the soul. See, God, faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, and his good report was that God has given us what he said he would do. It's right here for us. All we got to do is cross over and get it. Now you got to remember, God brought you out of bondage. He brought you out of the land of Egypt. See, he heard your cries. He heard your prayers. Whatever you've been praying for, whatever you believe you've been believing God for, he heard your prayers. And he sent the word of God and brought you out of bondage. Now he's brought you to your blessing. Will you receive your blessing? Will you reach out and get the blessing that's right before you? Or will you let one little incident or whatever that is negative stop you from grasping your blessing, holding your blessing, and bringing your blessing into you? Are you gonna let Satan beat you out of your blessing? He knows you're praying. And see, Satan knows God answers prayers. And he'll do anything in the world to stop you from getting your blessing. Like I say, he plays with your mind. You can get on your knees and start praying, and Satan starts sending stuff through your head. And you'll have to say, Lord, clear my head. You have to do it. Clear my head. See, and he knows where you're weak at. So he knows right what to send through your mind. Believe you ain't got to tell me amen. I know. You know, you just got to stop. Lord, please clear my head so that you can focus. You can focus on God as you enter into his presence, and you can focus and make your prayer and supplication known to the Lord. Satan tries to block you from getting your blessing. And if you allow him to do that, you lose. And Caleb and Joshua were the two that stood by faith, knowing that they were able to receive that blessing that God had. Caleb said, look what Caleb said. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. First, number one, faith brings peace, and then faith brings passion. See, the peace comes through the good report of the word, but then there's passion, there's a zeal. See, Caleb had a zeal. See, Caleb said, let us go. In other words, what God has promised to me, I'm ready to go across there and get it right now, because you know what? It's mine. It belongs to me. And see, you got to get that passion and that zeal and know that in spite of what people say to you, in spite of the negative thing they say, you got and go and get
the first assistant to Mr. John Montgomery call and they apologize. It wasn't a mistake on the part of the radio station. I played what I was sent. It was a very enjoyable sermon, but of course you listened to Mr. John Montgomery at this hour. We're going to put on one of his most requested sermons, Home Sweet Home, in the place, and it will continue for the next 30 minutes. Thank you very kindly.
You have your Bibles, would you stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord and turn them to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. We're continuing our message series entitled Home Sweet Home. And we're talking about husbands and wives knowing their parts and their roles and their place. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, recorded are these words: Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters are ye, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. There are so many things that we have covered this day concerning the role and responsibility of the husband and the wife in the home, and understanding those roles and responsibilities make for a home that is sweet, a home that is pleasant, and a home that is profitable. One of the things that you're going to understand is that because of roles, we have rules that govern each role. And when the roles are adhered to by the rules, then we have a right to expect the expectation of the reward. It's important to understand that God has set up his structure and his standard concerning the home. How even as we go back to Genesis and find out how God again created man, and in that same creation he gave him dominion, and then he saw one day that man had become lonely and it was not good for him to be alone. And the text said that he then called man to duty, to name all of the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And when he finished his task, he put man to sleep, and from his rib he created woman. And then, as we look at the record, we understand how God gave him a command, even before the woman was created, not to eat of the tree of good and evil, the tree of knowledge. And so when he then had that command, when it was just him, had now been given what God deemed a helpmeet. And the wife was called a helpmeet because joining her to the rib of Adam involved and infused her in the work that God had given to the man. It was her role and responsibility to be the support system, to be the one who would energize him, to keep him focused, to be also the other help to make production and reproduction that of that that pleased God. And her role was a very clear role, and so was Adam's role. But somehow the enemy deceived her. And he told her that if you eat of this tree of knowledge of good and evil, ye will not surely die. And she said that the serpent beguiled her, and Adam said, the woman you gave me messed me up. And God said, no, the problem is you have both misunderstood and misrepresented your roles. Both of them had a relationship with God who had given them dominion over everything on the earth. And because they were not focused on their roles and their responsibilities, sin entered in. Now, as we look at this, because I want you to understand some things. If there are no clearly defined roles, then in every home there will be chaos. If there are no real understandings of responsibility connected with those roles, meaning if you don't do the roles that you know to do, then conflict enters in. And then if you don't do again what you know to do as the role that has been defined by God, then you cannot receive a reward. And if you do not receive the reward, then on the other hand, you suffer the consequences. So you have chaos, conflict, and consequences when you don't know and or do your role. Let's look at the word, because I want us to see some things. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 21, I'm not going there now, through verse 33. I want you to read that in conjunction with our text today when you get a chance at home to better understand the roles. But Peter picks up where Paul leaves off. And he says similarly some of the things that Paul says concerning roles and responsibilities and rewards of marriage. First of all, I want to just bring out the husband's role and then the wife's role. First, the husband's role is that of position. And the first position that God gives him is a position of humility, because he makes the man the head. And because he makes him the head, he gives him responsibility connected with accountability. For the word says, to whom much is given, much is required. The second thing that he expects is a position of honesty, because there are some things that the Lord tells the head that the head is then to distribute to the rest of the body. And he must be clear and honest about what he has received from the Lord, because God does not violate his structure. He works and he operates in a structured situation the same way every time. The way that you have confusion is if God would tell the head one thing, the foot another thing, the eyes another, and the ears another, and you'd have mass confusion in one body. So what he does is he tells the head and then instructs him to distribute it to the rest of the body. So the head must be honest. And the last thing I need to tell you is that the head must have a position of honor, because God made again him head and gave to him that honor the same way